Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
We're going to start off with Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And this basically sums the objective of Mark in writing the Gospel of Mark. Of course, we know he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. And he presents Jesus in a way different than Matthew or Luke did, and or John. His objective was to reach the Romans, and so we see him bringing out things about Jesus that would reach the hearts of the Romans that he was writing to. We're talking about seeing Jesus in the Scriptures. We're looking at Mark today. This would be his theme verse, Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45. And I rarely do this, but I guess I just want to keep you exercising. Let's stand for the reading of the Word, and let's read this theme verse of Mark together that sums up the book of Mark. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. One more time. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Turn to three or four people and give them a high five and say, we're going to see Jesus today in the book of Mark. Come on. We're going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I went to a church not long ago and they give fist bumps. So when you come into the house of God, instead of getting a handshake, everybody was just doing I thought it must be cold and flu season. You know, I believe in the right hand of fellowship. You know, I like this thing here. Maybe call me old, but I've never been to a church where the greeters were going fist bump to everybody coming in the door. They do have hand sanitizers, folks. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament is one revelation, and that revelation is that of Jesus. Jesus and the apostles, their Bible was the Old Testament. And if you read the Scriptures over 300 times, you will see in the New Testament quotes out of the Old Testament, and many of them by Jesus himself. We looked at last time on Wednesday night, Matthew depicts Jesus as the lion, and Mark depicts Jesus as the calf or the ox, which the ox represents a servant, one who works for others. It also represents the calf, the sacrificial sacrifice for our sins. And we see the Gospels in the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, and let's read that on the board again this morning. Revelation 4 and verse number 7. It says, and the first beast was like unto a lion, say Matthew. And the second beast like a calf, say Mark. And the third beast like a face of a man, say Luke. And the fourth was like a flying eagle, say John. And as we look at these books, we will see, we saw last time, how Jesus was like the lion, the king, the lion, the tribe of Judah, right? And we see Matthew starts showing the lineage of Jesus by his deity, the lion. Now, we see the ox or the calf in Mark, the servant, the Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, once I read this, more I see of the Scriptures, the more I learn, the more hungry I am to know more. Matthew's objective was to reach the Jews, where Mark's objective was to reach the Gentiles, particularly the Romans. Mark was not one of the original 12 disciples. Many believe he was one of the 70 that Jesus commissioned when he sent them out two by two. And he basically gave them authority to do the works that he was doing. We also know something about Mark. His spiritual father was the Apostle Peter. That was his spiritual father. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 13. So Peter was a spiritual father to Mark. In fact, many believe that Mark spent time in Rome with Peter, where he got much of the information as he was writing the book of Mark. He traveled in ministry for a season with Barnabas and Paul, but we know that there came dissension over him, so Paul sent John Mark home, or John Mark just went home. And many have speculated that the persecution was so great that Mark was still young, he was still green, and he could not take the persecution, and he fled. We don't know. But we do know later, while in a Roman jail, Paul sent for him. Some say the accounts written were from Peter's testimony. After Mark left, he pioneered a church in Alexandria, Egypt. How many know Alexander the Great? Okay, goes back to there. Mark's name means hammer. That's the meaning of his name. And boy, does he hammer the message. He lives up to his name well. Mark was also known as Marcus in Scripture. He was also known as John Mark. John was his Jewish name. Mark was his Roman name. And like the Apostle Paul, he had dual citizenship. His mother was independently wealthy, let me put it that way. So his dad must have been a tycoon, so to speak, and left his mother with a lot of money. In fact, in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, we see the church meeting in his mother's home. His mother was related to Barnabas. John Mark was either a nephew or a cousin to Barnabas. One thing about the Romans, two things that characterize the Romans. Now, the book of Mark was written to the Romans. Two things characterize the Romans. Number one, they loved power. And number two, they were a people of action. So Mark reveals Jesus as the man who had all power, and he was a man of action. And I love that. Jesus was a man of action. This morning, I'm going to not only look at Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, but I'm going to see how all of this applies to me and you, where it fits our life today. Can you say amen? Now, one thing that Mark brings out in the Gospels is the miracles that Jesus performed. Many, many miracles. We talked about Matthew, talked much about his parables and his teachings. And last time, if you missed Matthew, boy, you missed some good teaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Because there have been a lot, not so much today, but in times past, people thought, if you were saved and you divorced and you remarried, you're committing adultery. Boy, we just sunk that ship, because actually what was happening during that time is men were putting their wives away and not giving them a legal form of divorcement. So when their wives would marry who were not legally divorced, they were committing what? It's always good to know the scriptures. Amen. I know a man that his wife left him. He was actually my dad's first cousin. His wife left him. She was a hussy. And no bones about it. Left him with his children. And he thought, I can never remarry, because this was preached in the church. And she left him. She divorced him. She went off her married way. Left him with the kids. And when the kids, they were little. The kids are getting up older, and he was lonely. And God brought a woman into his life. They remarried. The church cut his membership. Said, you're committing adultery. He backslid because he thought, I can't leave her now. That wouldn't be right. I can't stay with her. just, and so it was amazing where finally my dad couldn't figure out why he backslid. You know, everybody was saying the woman, you know, led him astray and all that. And my dad went to him and a few others and said, "What is going on, Ed?" His name was Ed. "What's going on, Ed?" And he explained this. My dad said, "Is that it?" Explained the scriptures to him, and he came back to God and served God. And he just went home to be with Jesus not long ago. I'm so glad that somebody knew the word to tell him the truth. Amen? But that was in last teaching. So we need all of these. They're all good. Miracles took place. There were three classification of miracles. And the first we think about is all of the healings that took place in the physical body. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, just one place we're going to read. Verse number 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And what do we see Jesus? 41. "He is moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him," which he was not supposed to do, "and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." It was compassion that Jesus saw on this man. He his heart went out to this man. He loved this man. He did not want this man to be a leper. And let me tell you, whatever you're facing today, he has compassion. He has compassion for what you're suffering through. He has compassion for what you're going through. Note that Jesus is a man of compassion. And he will touch you and he will make you whole. And it says in verse number 42, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." That's the Jesus that we serve. We also read about the centurion's servant that was sick and he came, a Gentile Roman. See, he's writing to the Romans, right? A Gentile Roman comes to Jesus and he says, "I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be made whole. I am a man of authority." And he knew the power of declaring the word. Jesus spoke the word. The servant was healed that very moment. But Jesus turned to the Jewish boys that were traveling with him and he says, "I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel." See, he's getting to the Romans about Jesus. We also read about Peter's mother-in-law, sick of a fever. And I love this story because Jesus just goes in and raises her up. The fever leaves, and immediately she got up and cooked dinner. Now, how many, think about this, how many would milk that? "Well, I've had a fever, you know, I need to take in some fluids, I need to rest." You know, when you have a fever, it takes a lot out of you. Man, she didn't milk it. She got healed and she just gets up. "Now I'm going to cook Jesus a meal." Praise God. Amen. I love that. Well, it was a good thing she cooked dinner because it was a witness. And the Bible says that people full of devils and sick people, they came and Jesus began to heal them, one right after the other, heal them and cast out the devil. We also read in Mark's gospel about the woman with the issue of blood. And she had suffered 12 years and she did not get any better. She spent all she had on doctors. And how many can say, hello? They're not cheap. She spent all that she had on doctors and she was worse. But she heard about Jesus and she said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made well." And she pressed through the crowd. She touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. And he felt the virtue flow out of him. I tell you, when you touch Jesus, something flows out of him. And the virtue flowed out of him and she was made well. I love the story about two blind men and they followed Jesus. And Jesus lets them follow him all the way to the house. The blind is leading the blind. Where do you hear him? I mean, why didn't Jesus just stop right there the first moment that he saw they were blind? Why didn't he just heal them? Why did he make two blind men come to the house? Because he has to see our faith. Jesus is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. And so when he saw the faith of these blind men, sometimes you've got to do something. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's risky. But you've got to do something. You've got to move out on faith. And as they followed Jesus, they followed him to the house and he healed them and they were able to see. He goes to church. There's a man with a withered hand and they're staring at him. What is he going to do? Like that's something terrible to heal somebody on the Sabbath. And they were waiting. And he said, stretch forth your hand. And the man's hand was made whole. One of my favorite is blind Bartimaeus. Boy, between him and John the Baptist, it's going to be noisy in heaven. Glory to God. I heard one preacher say he wanted to live on the same street with either John the Baptist or Bartimaeus. Because he wants action. Blind Bartimaeus is in Jericho. Jericho was a cursed city. It was a cursed city. You never see Jesus spending the night in Jericho because it was a cursed city. But he went to the cursed place because there was one man. And he was passing through Jericho. And the man, we don't even know his name. It is not Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. He's the son of Timaeus. So we don't even know his name. It just says, the son of Timaeus. He begins to yell out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And people are saying, be quiet, be quiet. We got to keep it down here in this church service. It's not holy to shout out to God. It's not holy to get emotional. Shh. And Bartimaeus, he thought, well, you have your eyesight. I don't have my eyesight. And the Bible says he began to cry out even louder, the more a great deal. He began to scream and yell, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And all of a sudden now, the one that was hindering the service is now the star of the show. And he says he cast off his beggar's garments. He was taking a risk because if he wasn't healed, he would have no support. And I love it. Jesus healed him, and it says he followed Jesus in the way. What does that mean? He got out of cursed Jericho. Once you've been touched by Jesus, you get a revelation, your eyes are open, you get away from the cursed thing. Amen. He followed Jesus in the way. Well, we saw healings, and I just didn't name everything that Jesus healed in the book of Mark, but we also see miracles in the cosmic realm. What am I talking about? Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep on the boat. He's in the hinder part of the boat, and a storm comes up. Jesus had no problem with his equilibrium because he's sleeping. The boat is rocking. It's about to capsize, the disciples think. And realize, there are four great fishermen on that boat that are scared. And they go down to the basement of the boat or the hinder part of the boat, and Jesus is asleep with his head on a pillow. That boat is keeping him asleep. I mean, that rocking is just... And they say to him, don't you care that we perish? Jesus gets up. He goes up to the higher part of the boat, and he simply says three words. Peace, be still. And the storm ceased at that moment. And then he looked at the disciples and he rebuked them for their lack of faith. In other words, why didn't you take care of this yourself and disturb my sleep? I know a lot of pastors sometimes have felt that way. Not this one, though. You're good people. We see Jesus doing miracles in the cosmic realm. He walked on the water and just spoke the word, come, and another disciple named Peter was able to take some steps on the water. On one occasion, he had 7 loaves of bread, and he fed 4,000 men. Wives and children on top of the 4,000 men. 7 loaves of bread. Another time, there were 5,000 men, and there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They were estimating that had to be about 20,000 people, at least, that he fed. Now, when he fed 4,000 men and wives and children with 7 loaves, they took up 7 basketfuls. But when he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that equaled 7 too. Think about that. The Bible says they took up 12 basketfuls. They had more left over than they started off with. Say, Jesus, go Jesus. A man of action and a man of power. Of course, he had one disciple that always put his foot in his mouth. And one of the tax collectors come around and started asking questions about paying taxes. And Jesus did not owe taxes. He didn't have to pay anything. But Peter opened his mouth. So now Jesus has to pay some taxes. So he simply says, don't sweat it, Peter. Go fishing. The first fish you pull up, there'll be a coin in the mouth, and take care of the fish or take care of the taxes. Jesus also spoke to a fig tree. It withered and died overnight. Don't you love it? So he was a man of action and he was a man of power. But I love this. Miracles in the spirit realm. There was this guy that went around naked in the tombs, Gadarenes. And the Bible says that he had legions of devils. Legions. That's a lot of devils. Devils make you take your clothes off. Write that down. Grew up in Florida. We're known for Disney World and beaches. And my dad says, and thirdly, legions descendants. I remember saying, Dad, I want to go to the beach. We're not going to get out there with legions descendants. But he had some truth to that. All right. Enough of that. He cast the devils out, and 2,000 swine committed suicide quickly. Blind and dumb demoniacs came, and Jesus cast out the demons. A lunatic boy came. Jesus cast out the demons. The Syrophoenician girl, Jesus cast out the demons. But I love this one in the spiritual realm. There's a 12-year-old girl and Jairus' daughter. Jesus is on his way and he got delayed. Jairus came to him and said to him, my daughter is very ill, very sick unto death. Would you come and pray for her? Jesus says, yeah, I'll come. So Jesus begins his journey to Jairus' house. And this is where the woman with the issue of blood came and pressed through the crowd and touched him. Now, Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus could not touch the cursed thing. The woman with the issue of blood, by the law, could not touch Jesus. But she did, and it defiled him. They come back to Jesus, and this delayed him. This time of supernatural healing delayed him. And they come back to Jesus, and they said, oh, there's no use now. The daughter's dead. Jesus came, and Jesus would not have been able to touch the girl and pull her up because he could not touch a dead corpse by the law. Except the woman with the issue of blood had defiled him so that legally made it possible for him to raise her up. The girl was 12 years old. The woman had the issue of blood for 12 years. Don't tell me God's not in the mix of your miracle. In the mix of your miracle. Jesus is a man of action, and Jesus is a man of power. How does this apply to us today? Well, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same. Let's say it. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. We read about yesterday. I've talked about yesterday. He's the same as yesterday. Today, he's the same, and he will be the same tomorrow. Mark 16:15. I love this. Jesus is now, he's gone to the cross. He was buried. He's rose again. And he's about to ascend to the Father. And he's speaking to his apostles. And he says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, baptism is not salvation, but you will be baptized if you're saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That word saved means delivered, protected, preserved, and made whole. But he that believeth not shall be damned or judged by God. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, in my name they shall cast out devils. Jesus cast out devils. Now we can cast out devils. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues. Nowhere it says tongues are not for today. Praise God. Number three, verse 18, they shall take up serpents. And it doesn't mean we become a snake handling church. In other words, if there comes a viper that comes against you, you got authority and power over that. And if they drink any deadly thing, if somebody tries to kill them, it shall not hurt them. And I know of preachers who have been to the place where somebody tried to kill them by poisoning them. Brother Schembach was one of them. Somebody brought him a pie, I believe it was. Put poisoning in it. He enjoyed that pie. And I know Brother Schembach, he probably ate most of it himself. If not all of it. She comes back to church the next night thinking he's dead. It did not harm him. Praise God. I love it. I love it. And they shall, number five, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They begin to preach the kingdom of God. They begin to preach everywhere. The Lord working with them. In other words, the Lord is working with me this morning. Praise God. He's working. What? I tell you, that'll humble you. God will work with you when you declare the word. Working with them. Confirming the word with signs following. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday. Today and forever. I've told the story many times. I grew up and a Pentecostal preacher's daughter, and I loved to. I was an arguer when I was a kid. I was a horrible arguer. I loved to debate on anything, especially when it comes to the things of God. And I would debate the Baptists all the time because they said miracles aren't for today and healing is not for today. Sometimes God will, but most of the time he won't because there's no miracles today. And not all Baptists believe that, but this group of Baptists did. And I argued that, and I would say, what do you do with the scripture? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. You're a good, good Father. Lord, you are a good, good God. You are a wonderful Savior, Jesus. A wonderful Savior, a wonderful Lord. You're good in all your ways. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every sin. I thank you that if we call upon you, we can be saved, healed, set free, delivered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, if when we come in faith, Lord, I thank you that nothing is impossible to them that believe. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. There's a sweet spirit in the house this morning. Just from your heart, from your seat, just begin to commune with him. Just begin to commune with him right where you're sitting right now. From your heart, commune with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."